Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Oh, don't interrupt me, Russ. I'm doing the big intro for the show, okay? It's my biggest thing. Hi again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables. With me, Jungle Jim Jerome and Russ Cortinel. Longtime NHL, 17 years. Drafted 7th overall, right, back in 1993.
You're 1 for 3 so far. Keep going. Come on.
I just make it up, Russ.
The kid who went to school just to eat his lunch. Jim Jerome, ladies and gentlemen.
Never let facts get in the way of a good story. We're back at you, of course, with another great show coming up. Last couple of shows been great. We got a huge response from Larry Robinson's guest spot that he did with us. Wasn't he great, Russ?
Oh, he was awesome. He's always awesome.
How about when he handed it to the referees? If you haven't heard the show, and I forget what we were talking about, it sort of morphed into the refereeing. He's going, the refereeing shit, okay? The referees are shit. They're all making, he just went on and on and on. It's like, this is juicy stuff. You know, he was great.
Yeah, Larry's a good guy.
Had a bunch of response from last week's show, particularly at the end. Got a little emotional at the end, but thanks everyone for reaching out. You can listen to all the shows. Go back, Gretzky, Kelly Chase. Who else have we had? Many guys. We had
Jeff on. We had Lowry.
Lowry, the golfer. Yeah, see, on the senior tour.
But yeah, Rick Tocchet, the coach.
Rick Tocchet was great. Yeah. You can do that. On today's show, Russ, we're going to go to the good listener. Who have some questions for you. We want to talk about that. I need to let you know. And then we've got, we'll do a bit of that. And then we're going to bring on a friend of mine. Everyone's heard about the Wayne Gretzky Fantasy Camp, which ran for 15 years. It was really when it ended, Russ, it was really like someone watching their child walk away from home forever. People were crying. They were like, don't end this thing, man. They loved it. Anyway, one of the guys I met at this camp is a great story. A guy from New York City, Mark Rubin, and his wife Donna, lovely. They showed up at the camp after you left, Russ. They were there for a few years, and he's the only guy I know. First of all, whoever went to the fantasy camp but never knew how to skate, okay, until only a couple years before that.
No, he was the second.
He was what?
You were the first.
Exactly. Anyway, further to that, Warnsey and I were talking yesterday, and he found a story where the collectible market is going through the roof since COVID, and you know, where people are trying to find things to do. And Mark owns a collectible shop in New York City, in Scarsdale, New York. It's called American Legends. So I thought we gotta bring him on instead of me trying to figure all this out. Rusty, the other thing is, I'm down a belt loop.
Can't eat because the cop left you.
Exactly. Well, that's more true than you think. Anyway, Rusty, I'm down a belt loop. Okay. You know, I got all mixed up, Russ, there. Okay. A few weeks ago, I'm getting over the sting, right? Of the
cop dropped you.
Yeah, she did.
She punted you.
Yeah. And anyway, I was.
Speeding ticket, nothing.
Shut up. So I ended up walking. I started walking. And then now I can't stop. So I go.
Are you going back and forth in front of her house?
I said, now I can't stop, not stalk. Okay. So I started walking. I've been walking 8 kilometers every night.
Wow.
And one night I walked 13. I'm down a belt loop. So I've lost about 15 pounds. Okay. Wow. That's what this girl. Okay, that's what happened to me.
She needs to leave you again.
Anyway, that one, Rusty. And the other thing I'm doing, speaking of distractions.
Good for you, by the way.
I'm hooked on video blackjack.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know. And, you know, it.
The free one, I hope? The one you play for fun?
No.
Oh, no.
No, pal. No. Okay.
Oh, no. This better be a hit show.
Okay. I'll play three hands, Russ. Okay. And you'll go.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
This will bore you until you find out how fast it is. So I'll play three at $2 a hand. Okay. Uh-huh. $2 a hand. I'm a good blackjack player. I've played my whole life and I know what I'm doing. So you're going, well, that's boring, right? It's this fast, Russ. Okay. This is real time. Okay. Yeah. You hit deal, it goes foot, stay, ding, results, okay? So if you do the math, you're spending $6 every 3.5 seconds, okay? So add that up. It's like, okay, whatever that is.
I'm choking on my drink.
It's like $100 a minute, okay? Yeah. I mean, you don't lose every hand. But anyway, I got to stop. I'm going crazy.
Okay, you're down 15 pounds. How much money are you down?
Yeah, about I added it up. Okay.
What are you?
I'm actually up $180.
Oh wow.
So my deposits are very high. My deposits were around $4,000 that I'm putting in my casino thing, but I've taken out 42 and change. Hardly worth the risk. Okay? Yeah. Anyway,
the good news is the cop doesn't have to shovel her sidewalk because there's footsteps going back and forth and back and forth.
Why did I ever tell
There's not a chance the snow is going to stay on the ground.
Why did I ever tell you about this?
Oh my
I'm
God.
Looking for love and support here. Okay. I got you in my back. Let me read a couple of things to you before, and we'll bring Mark on in a bit. What's our email, Steve? I don't know how many shows it's been.
TheSuspendables@yahoo.com.
TheSuspendables@yahoo.com. 7,000 shows later. There it is, the White Claw. Russ, you've got a bunch of listeners. By the way, our website will be out before the next show.
Nice.
It's super cool. So anyway, a little shout out to a bunch of listeners. Tim Cordes and Harlan Smith and Patrick White and Sean, I want to say probably Huttmacher, Sasha Boscovic and Ian Bickle, Tim Warnsby, a bunch of other people, Victor Newman. That's from Young and the Restless, man.
Mm. Huh? We'll go with that.
Does that excite you? I heard Russ that hockey players were rabid soap opera fans.
A few, but I wasn't.
You weren't?
Not one person I roomed with in 16 years watched soaps. So Gretzky was a big soap watcher, but.
He's going to hate the fact you said that. He's not going to like
it. No, he loved it. He was actually on the show a couple times.
I know. I saw it.
Of course, you drove him there.
Not a strong actor. Okay. Fantastic hockey player. Not a strong actor. And then he did he hosted Saturday Night Live. That was my favorite. Ooh, means hockey. Remember he did it to Blue Hawaii. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me read some stuff, Russ, to you that we've had. One guy wanted to know, Bill Sutherland. Thanks, Bill. Loves the show. Okay. Bill's been listening for a love the podcast and the off-ice stories. Keep them coming. He says, I keep hearing about escrow. So what happens with the money? What is that all about? I have no idea. Do you?
Neither do I.
Okay. There you go, Bill. Thanks for listening. Have we got...
Obviously, the players are putting money into an escrow account, but I don't know how it works. So
that
percentage of their salaries are going, and then at the end, they figure out the amounts and what the players are going to get back. But I can't really give you too much detail on it. Fuck, if I was playing, I'd tell you everything, though. If that was my money, I'd know.
Right. Let's see. Sasha Boscovic, I mentioned her name. Good day, gentlemen. Thank you for being who you are and making my Tuesdays enjoyable. Very funny and informative. I sent an email to you a month ago. I'm supposed to be reading these, Russ. And in fact, now I'm reading this now is 2 months later than the month brief. So it's a 3 month old.
To all the listeners. Yeah. Jim has a lot more time on his hands now.
Oh, God, Jesus. So let's try this. I sent an email.
And other things in his hands.
and never heard back. So let's try it this way. Russ named a few tough guys during his NHL times, but never mentioned Norm Lacombe of the Edmonton Oilers. Perhaps you can comment on that. Again, keep up the good work. Keep us entertained. Love, Sasha.
Sasha, Norm and I got drafted the same year. He was drafted to Buffalo, and Norm and my brother played on a line, I think, with Kenny, not Ken Linsman, no, another guy, Keith Acton, maybe, when they won the cup in 88.
Yep. Yeah,
1988. I never saw a highlight or saw Norm Lacombe fight, so I can't answer that question.
Thanks for that. Yeah, another listener who we don't know any
idea. That was good. Polite for he's not a tough guy. He wasn't.
Well, he wasn't a tough
guy. He's big, super strong, but he wasn't a tough guy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck. Didn't you get what I was trying to be polite? Made me come out of the shoot.
I was kind of, I guess I was half listening. I don't know. I just thought.
No, Norm was like, he was the first probably bodybuilder never. I mean, he might have fought, but back, you know, back when we played, you didn't see all the highlights either. So maybe there's a bunch of highlights him scrapping that I never saw, but I never heard of Norm Lacombe being a tough guy.
He still lives in Edmonton. I run into him once.
Sorry, Norm.
Hey, Norm. Like on Cheers.
Yeah. I'll show you stuff. Next time I'm in Edmonton, I'll be getting shit kicked by Norm Lacombe. Well, I'm eating chicken wings. What do you mean I wasn't tough?
Yeah, you're in trouble now.
Yeah.
I got him dialed up. Yeah.
You'll probably invite him.
He's got a fitness joint here. He got right into the fitness thing, and he's a trainer, personal trainer, and been doing that for a while.
Maybe we got to get Norm on the show, and then we can get his highlights.
Mark Hobler. Thanks, Mark. Hey, guys, I just wanted to take a minute and write to you to say how much I've enjoyed the podcast. Every week, you're going to love this guy, Russ. Every week, I put on the show, light up a cigar, take the dog for a walk, laughing and walking. A great way to cap off my Wednesdays. Keep up the work, guys. Next, onto the White Claws.
Love the cigar story.
Yeah. All these guys want to know what kind of cigars you smoke. They keep asking me.
I'm smoking Bolivars and Trinidads, Cubans. I got them out of New York from some gentleman that I won't mention his name.
Oh, tax-free cigars. You're getting them brought
in
from
Cuba.
No,
it's not tax-free. They're illegal in the United States. Cuban cigars, not like Canada where you can buy them in the shop. That's good.
Well, I don't think anyone from the tax department listens to the show. You'll be fine. Yeah, keep talking about that. Yeah. I remember doing the radio show with Stevie and going, you know, if you're going to do your taxes, you got to get a guy who's kind of finds loopholes. I'm broadcasting a radio show in Ottawa, the nation's capital.
Yeah, next door to Revenue Canada.
To the CRA.
The guy from Revenue Canada says, I'm just going to go to Tim Hortons, get a coffee, and visit a client. He doesn't know it yet.
All right. Trevor Ritchie writes as Russ, and this is kind of a story. Hi, Jim and Russ. I've been meaning to send this message for some time now. I finally got around to it. I really enjoy your show, especially the old stories Russ shares about how hockey inside and outside the rink used to be. One of the most interesting stories to me is how Russ got started in real estate, because I work with Harold Ballard's granddaughter, whose mother encouraged Russ to get started in the endeavor. So far, so good, Russ? Correct?
Absolutely. That.
Okay, hang on. I passed the links to the episodes where Russ talks about her onto my colleague, who then shared them with her mother.
Nice.
She reported back that her mother got a big kick out of it. She remembers the time that she spent with Russ fondly and says that he's a great guy. I'm not sure that she would like any of this shared on a podcast. Oh, whoops. Too late. But I thought it would be nice, at least for Russ to know.
I thought about reaching out to her and just to say hello, because she really did have a huge impact on me as far as real estate goes. I was just starting out in the NHL, and I wanted to buy a home, and then I had heard somebody, I don't know how I got introduced to her regarding it. And then she started driving me around, showing me properties and what she had done and what she was doing. And that's how I got into it. And what the best advice she gave me was you can make money in any market, meaning in an up market or a down market. Mm-hmm. And she said, if you buy in the right place, there's always somebody moving, like, you know, we're talking Toronto at the time. So somebody's always moving into Toronto that's going to be looking for a nice home in a nice area.
Right.
And she was in a nice area at the time and probably still is. And she used to throw these parties, invite all these people to her home and would say it's for sale if anybody's interested. And then that's how she sold her homes. And she'd go on to the next one and the next one. And she showed me how she did it. And I start doing it. And it's worked to this day.
Attaboy.
Hang on, how many years did I, 35 years probably ago, she gave me advice.
Isn't that cool?
A reminder, you can follow The Suspendables on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And check out our new website, thesuspendables.ca.
Heritage Classic, Russ, someone wants to know what you thought of that. The first outdoor game was in Edmonton. You were part of the Canadiens alumni against the Oilers. I'm sure you remember that.
I loved it.
Are you done? Are you done texting there? I can tell you're gapping.
My son just wanted to see if he wanted to bet the game.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Talk about the Heritage Classic. You were there. I remember seeing you there. We got kind of annihilated together a couple nights.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
There was a bar I met. It was in the basement of the Scotia Tower. And you and I went flying in there for a little while. I don't know why I remember that. I must love you, Russ.
We were staying at the McDonald Hotel on the corner. And the kids went, I brought my family and they were tobogganing and having a great time. And there's so many great events. It was funny. So Montreal always does everything first class, right?
Right.
Montreal Canadiens, for everybody knows, top notch. Probably the best run team in the league. And we had steak and lobster at the hotel and all this stuff. And the Oilers were asking if they could come to our party.
You had the Molson family looking after
and
you.
And their event they had for the guys was chicken wings and beer under the stadium, under the old stadium. And and it was sponsored probably by Molson's. And anyways, it was pretty funny. And we had a great, great time. I just saw a picture today of Carbo, Guy Carboneau and I, somebody sent me, I don't know why. I just saw that today. Funny from that era.
Right. What about the game itself, Russ? It was 1,000 below zero.
Oh.
Was there any thought you guys weren't even going to play it? I mean, I guess the show had to go on. It was the only time I cried walking to the arena. It was so cold.
It was 28 below zero. And if you look at the pictures, they had the heaters on our bench turned up so high that the stick boys were in t-shirts. And guys were getting, Chris Nyland came off from a shift and got sick because he went from 28 below to 80 degrees. And so that's when they used to have the alumni game first. And then afterwards they would have the big game. Now they do it the day before and the day after. And so what they learned from us was to turn the temperature on the bench down to, I think, like 55 or 60, because guys were getting sick on the bench during our game.
Be like jumping into a sauna and then into
It was terrible. Yeah. It was terrible when you came off, but it was so much fun. It was the first outdoor classic the NHL had. I was so proud to be part of it. And it was so much fun. We just, you know, every time that you get together, everyone knows when you get together with old friends or an old team or your school buddies, you know, it's just, you relive all those great memories. And we just had a blast. We were there for a few days. It was great.
Fantastic. JB, our buddy in Chicago. In fact, our guest who's getting ready to come on would know JB, JB Brown. His real name is James. James Brown.
Yeah, I know.
Great guy. A friend of yours now. Big, big supporter of all the charity stuff. Wonderful guy. And he's talking about fights. He sent us a little comment here when it must have been one show we were talking about fights. And I think I remember this, Russ. And he says, "Hey, Russ, speaking of fights, in episode, there it is, in episode 53, did the night at Pebble Beach with the Russians not count as a great fight?"
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, Val Buria and I were up there. We didn't get in a fight.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was, I forget. Anyway, JB, there's another listener. We have no idea what they're talking about.
And, you know, JB came, so we met at the fantasy camp, and then he came to the Courtnell Celebrity Classic.
I remember that. Yeah.
And he was a big sponsor. He's such a great guy.
Great guy.
I said, "Well, JB, I got to put your name down here." So James Brown. I go, no, come on. Right. I thought he was kidding. No,
can't be. Who would name their kid James if you're a Brown?
And so we had a good chuckle over that. But he came in early. He stayed right till the end. He brought a buddy, and oh my God, that was the first year, I think, and it was just a freaking blast.
Yeah,
it was such a blast. They were all a blast, but. Anyways, he flew in from Chicago.
His kind of town. Anyway, thanks to all those people. We'll try and do it each and every week to ask your questions of Russ. We really appreciate you listening. So now onto the exciting part of the show. Mark Rubin is a friend of mine who I met in Las Vegas at the Gretzky Fantasy Camp. How you doing, Mark? You're there.
Well,
sorry to keep you waiting here.
That's okay. I'm learning so much.
Yeah, good. You're in New York City, born and bred.
Just outside in the suburbs. I was born in the city, but we live up in the suburbs now. Safe from the crime.
You got the New York accent, eh, Russ? You live there. Doesn't he sound like a New Yorker?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My wife bleeds a lot more New York accent than I do. So
I know she does. Donna. Yeah, I remember that.
Especially when she's giving you shit.
True story.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Before we get into what we want to talk to you about is the collectible industry. You got one of the big stores in the United States called American Legends, which is collectibles, right? From everything, hockey cards, sports cards, what else?
So we do cards from all the big four major sports, as well as memorabilia, autographed items, and collecting supplies. We have a large amount of vintage trading cards, which is kind of defined as anything produced before 1975. But we also have all the current releases. And right now, that's probably the biggest thing driving the market.
So what are current releases then, when you're talking about sports cars with each sport?
There are three major manufacturers of trading cards today. Topps, which has the exclusive on licensed baseball cards. Panini, which has the exclusive on licensed football and basketball cards. And Upper Deck, which has the exclusive license for hockey cards.
So the story comes out this week that the collectible business is going through the roof. When I heard it, I'm like, that might make sense, because I bet you, because I'm addicted now to video blackjack to kill time, because I'm twitchy about leaving the house. And I never was before, never played it at all. So tell us what the business is like COVID-wise.
So it's kind of insane. So we were locked down we had to close our retail store from March 20th to June 9th.
Right.
So you would think this would be catastrophic from a business standpoint. But what happened was, during the time we were locked down, everything just kind of blew up in terms of our industry. People are stuck at home. There's nothing to do. People are desperate to do anything. So it just kind of happened that the Last Dance documentary started airing on ESPN about the Bulls and Michael Jordan. And right, for some reason, that kind of lit a fuse, and people, you know, you're stuck home. What are you going to do? You go through the cards that you bought in the late 80s, early 90s, guys in their 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they're like, oh, all right, this is something to do. I mean, I'm not, you know, a lot of people are stuck doing Zoom meetings for work. They have tons of free time. They're not commuting. So they kind of discovered this passion that they had. And let's face it, you can't spend money on going out. You can't travel. You can't go to a game. You can't go to a show. Who gives a shit the way you look? I mean, you're going to spend money on clothing for what purpose?
Right.
So people just started buying boxes of cards, ripping them, trying to find like the hot rookie or pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of exploded. And even since we opened back up, what's it like 5 or 6 months ago, just the sheer amount of people walking through the door on a daily basis is staggering.
So does it change then the price of stuff? Or did, because of COVID, what I figured was because of COVID that the prices would go way down and that got more and more people interested.
That it's an interesting kind of dichotomy, because my first feeling was when we had to shut down was, oh God, like we're sitting with a lot of inventory. You know, no one knew what to expect because you figured the economy was going to crater. But the weird thing was the complete opposite happened. So where our business, I don't want to say was dying, but it was maybe aging out a little bit. It brought a ton of young collectors into it. So they just, whereas the supplies that we thought might have been too high at one point, because there was such an influx of new collectors, it ate up all the available supply of product, and it consequently drove the prices of just about everything sky high. Even stuff that was just garbage for 30 years now, a lot of it is actually pretty good.
What's a Eric Lindros rookie card worth now?
Well, see, that's one of the things that was garbage for the last 30 years. And unfortunately, still is not worth a ton of money just because there are so many millions of them around. Sorry, Russ.
No, I'm glad to hear that, because the guy, I bought 20 boxes, unopened boxes, back in 93, 94 with the trainer in Minnesota. And they're $500 a box. So he's to hold them, but now he can't find them.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't return phone calls.
Oh, no.
So I'm actually glad to hear that they're worth garbage. It's not worth a lot of money, because if they're worth a lot of money, I'd be calling my lawyer after the show.
Yeah, like they say, Russ, if you want to help out with social distancing, just lend someone some cash.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that today.
Okay, then I was going to save it till the end of the interview with you, Mark, but I'll ask now. What's a Cortinal? What's the Russ Cortinal card?
$2.
No, it's a little bit more. It's from 86, 87, despite what Jim thought it was from. The old peachy version is about 10, 15 bucks. The tops is about $5.
So, Mark, do you know the answer to this question? Back when I played, it wasn't a guarantee that you would get a rookie card. And the only time they made a rookie card was when they knew that you were going to be an NHL player long term. So my first game was in 1984. My brother, the same thing. And they didn't make our rookie cards till 2-3 years later, because they wouldn't just make you make a rookie card of a player unless they knew he was going to play for some time.
It's funny, because in the States with baseball, it kind of worked the opposite. They would do prospect cards a couple of years in advance. But for hockey, the Canadian sets are typically in the 70s and 80s were an extra 132 cards, and they'd have a lot of extra guys on the team that wouldn't be in the US set. So, you know, there are guys like Messier, his first Canadian cards are actually a couple of years before his first American cards.
And, you know, when we were playing back then and we found out that we had a rookie card, I mean, it was such a big deal. Can you imagine you've been in the league 3 years and now your rookie card comes out? I mean, it was like, oh, they think I'm staying.
You've arrived.
No, I've arrived and I'm staying a while.
There you go. Right. So let's talk about let's talk about hockey for a sec. You and I spoke briefly last night and you said for sure it is like you've mentioned here today, but you said, of the four sports, that hockey is not doing what the other sports are doing in collectible stuff. Did I remember that right?
That is correct. So it's doing well. It's just not doing as well as the others. Basketball this year was just ridiculously hot because of the Zion Williamson phenomenon. So a lot, that drew a lot of collectors in and kind of created the speculative buzz. And in the States, at least, a lot of the guys who dealt in sneakers and were big in trading that got into trading cards during the pandemic, and they like were just like locked in on basketball. So they helped also drive the pricing up.
Okay.
So, you know, football and baseball had a good year. Hockey had a decent year. I think you'll see in this year coming up, hockey's going to be huge because the Rangers had the number one pick and Lafreniere. His rookie card just came out last week. His base rookie card's already $250, And he's got an insert rookie that's harder to get. That's an acetate card. That's already going for $1,200 to $1,500.
Wow.
So, holy God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another rigged election. Selection, I meant. Did I say election? I meant selection.
Selection, yeah. Listen, I called Russ the other night. We shoot the shit every once in a while. His wife is a Democrat and Russ is a Republican. And you should have heard the two of them going at it. Okay. I was embarrassed. I said, I got to get off the phone.
We don't talk politics, Mark, on the show, so don't worry about it. But yep. Did you get your free groceries from Como tonight?
I don't want to say anything because I don't want my store shut down in the next 10 days.
No shit. Hey, but wouldn't it just back to Governor Como in New York, just for you people who don't know, Steve Nash retweeted that if you need groceries due to COVID, you can call in and they'll deliver free groceries to your house.
Steve Nash, the new head coach, right?
Yeah. So he's trying to really, you know, he's always been involved in charity and he's a great guy and a good friend of mine. And so I read that and I went, but why wouldn't you, if you're going to give away free food, which I agree with because there's a lot of people that can't, you know, either leave their home or they can't afford to buy stuff. So I get that, trying to look after people. But with all the restaurants and everything, why wouldn't they just say, okay, let's pay for people to, like, let's deliver food to people from restaurants. And then you've got the restaurant people working, they're making a living. The restaurant, the guy who owns the restaurant is feeding the people and he's able to pay his rent versus a grocery store that's just going to deliver free food to somebody who has to prepare it. And a lot of, you know, if the families aren't home, they're at work, then the kids don't know how to cook. I mean, I don't know. Anyways, sorry to get, I just saw
Nash. You're interested. You're passionate.
Well, and Nasher tweeted it, which I follow him on Instagram and he and I share stuff once in a while. And he's a big supporter of our charities and I'm a big supporter of his charities and we try to help out each other as much as we can and we're friends long time. And he sent it on Instagram and I just thought that why wouldn't they maybe go the other route and help out the restaurants that are all starving?
Right. Good point.
Anyways, Mark, sorry to get into that.
No, all good.
You better order takeout from restaurants, Mark, otherwise. I agree, Russ. I'm just tweeting out to everyone right now. I'm giving them your address in LA. I think you're right, Russ. And I think we should, it's just right here. He lives in Sherwood. Yeah. It's the second house on the left after you go up the hill past the gate.
Hey,
okay, take it easy.
Mark, speaking of collectibles. So Wayne and Janet bought their home back here at Sherwood, which is a beautiful home about 2 years ago. They built it. They sold it to Lenny Dykstra. They've had multiple homes since and then boom, they come back and they buy their old house. So the agents that represented them asked, hey, do you mind if we just publicize that we represented you in finding your home back? You know, we're doing this big thing. It'll help us. And Wayne goes, yeah, no problem. No problem. They put the address in the article.
Oh no.
The U.S. Postal Service had to work out a deal where to take all this mail because now every autograph seeker in the world is sending him stuff. And I think he worked out, I mean, we should ask Wayne next time he comes on the show to verify this, but I think he had to work out a deal with one of the card companies because, talking bags and bags and bags of mail that were coming from all over the world to their house.
Well, I've been there at his house. I've talked about this before, and I'll get up in the morning, and he'll be at the island in his kitchen, and it's not just like a little stack. Okay, there'll be like 50 or 60 things that come every day, and he signs them all. You know, people send them with return envelope. And you're getting more stuff for us, you said, since the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, Mark, tell us, you got into the business. You're in it now. You mentioned, you know, rookies that come out. You guys, who'd you get again? Lafreniere? You guys, the Rangers got them. You're happy. What do you, when you, each year, when the draft happens, what tell me what kicks in business-wise when you do this. How do you acquire cards? How do you do it? How are you building your collection?
Well, we aggressively try to purchase collections from people who have either, you know, built up a collection over the over their lifespan, and depending on someone, where somebody is in their point of life, if they need money, they want to sell it, you know, maybe they've lost interest, maybe they're moving, maybe it's an estate.
Maybe they don't know what it's worth.
Yeah. They don't know what it's worth, you know?
Right.
And, you know, we put it out there. We're looking to buy anything and everything. And, you know, knock wood, we've been able to, you know, run this business for 28 years. And we're actually having our best year ever.
Wow.
No kidding.
By like a huge margin.
Wow.
So best years are the prices are up, or you're gathering more collectible stuff? You're gathering more cards?
It's pretty much everything across the board.
Right.
Mark, did you ever meet a guy or come across a guy, Todd Axelrod?
No, I never have.
So he was from New York City. He ended up moving to Victoria, and he was in the collectibles. And he was like, his big stuff was political, like documents and sport cards. But I was at his house, and he had the letter that Reagan wrote to Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Wow.
Yeah. And stuff like that. Yeah. And then movie stuff. And he's passed away, but he moved to Victoria, and he was 1000% New Yorker, big cigar in the morning with his Cuban coffee, trading the stock market. I'd go over, he lived across the street from me, and he invited me over, and he wasn't a drinker, but he loved his cigars. So he says, come over in the morning. So I go over in the morning. I have this Cuban coffee. And then he goes, this cigar is Castro's favorite cigar. Try it. I light it up.
Holy
I
Jesus.
Turn fucking green. It's like 7 a.m. in the morning, 8 a.m. I said, do you have a bathroom here? I went in the bathroom. I look at myself. I come out and I go, Todd, I got to go. Paris told me something's up at home. I didn't make it to the end of his driveway. I freaking was sick everywhere.
And you're a cigar guy. Yeah.
And I'm a cigar guy. Yeah.
A reminder, you can follow The Suspendables on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And check out our new website, thesuspendables.ca.
Mark, before I let you go, let's talk about your biggest deal. Let's talk about what would be the biggest collectible thing. There you go, little White Claw. What would be the, walk us through that. Some of the massive deals or collections. Is it just sports cards, by the way?
No, actually non-sport as well. And the history of non-sport cards goes back to the late 1800s.
Uh-huh.
In a variety of subjects, you know, historical, science fiction, TV, movie.
Okay, so what's your biggest site? We're going to sell it for you, okay? You got on this massive podcast now. And tell us about a couple of the items that would knock us out here that are in your store.
Probably the single best thing we have in our inventory now is a Mickey Mantle rookie. It's graded in excellent condition, which numerically is a 5 out of 10. And currently we have it for sale for $63,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And just to give you a little perspective, just to show how important the condition is. If it was 2 grade points higher, it would be worth about $150,000. And if it was 3 grade points higher, it would be worth $500,000.
So wow. who's the governing body then to rate cards? Like how
Mark.
Yeah, it's Rubes.
I decree that yeah. No. So there are 3 major grading companies in the U.S. and they're fairly similar in terms of prestige and desirability. Probably PSA in California might be the biggest and most prominent. So typically we'll get most of the cards that we get graded done by them. So, they have a variety of graders and they'll assess the cards under bright lights and try to determine any kind of flaws and assign a numerical grade to them. But they're actually, all of the grading companies are completely overwhelmed business-wise because all the new collectors are just inundating them with cards to grade. And even though all the companies have increased their staffing and warehouse space tremendously, they just cannot keep up with the demand. So where it used to take a few weeks to get your cards back from grading, now it could take you 6 months, 9 months. It's just kind of like the insane world of 2020 we're living in.
Right on. Well, listen, Mark, this was great, man. Everyone's always curious about the collectible business. And what's the worst deal? What's the worst deal you went through? I paid a bunch and then it went for shit.
Oh boy, I've been a few of those.
Have you ever? How about? I was going to ask about fakes. You know, like people, they've made up something.
Scams.
You know? Yeah, that's kind of a problem these days. I mean, fortunately, I've been doing this long enough where, besides the way a card looks, I've handled enough cards where you can kind of tell if it just doesn't feel right. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you'll spot like a fake bill or you'll handle a fake $100 bill and you're like, it just doesn't feel right.
Jimmy mm-hmm. does it every day.
Yeah. I don't know the difference anymore. All mine are fake. I feel a real one go, this is odd. This is strange. Yeah. So Russ and I want to go, we want to get in the collectible business. What should we be trying to go after? What are you looking for? What's the big item that you're trying to get that?
I'm always looking to buy anything pre-1969, any like high ticket, popular, big Hall of Famer. So if it's hockey, you know, Orhow, Hull, Richard, if it's baseball, Mantle Mays, Aaron Clemente, and so on.
My buddy has Muhammad Ali's robe when he fought, was it Frazier?
And
he
oh my God. Cut,
and he's got the blood on it, on the robe. He's in Victoria and he went down after he was a gambler. So they took him down and Muhammad Ali gave it to him.
Wow.
He's got that.
Great piece.
Yeah. Stuff like that, I'm sure, is just worth a fortune.
I'm not a collector, but I got a couple of things. In fact,
that you stole from Wayne's house, I'm sure.
Exactly. In fact, yeah. My ex-wife would never let me put the stuff up, so I never did it. So I would get stuff given to me, one of the great things, and then I give it to people to hang in their house who have it with the deal. Of course, they can't get it. Well, no, I do. Stevie, as a matter of fact, our producer. So I want to know what this is worth. I mean, it's Christmas and shit, right, Russ? Okay, everyone needs a little extra skrilla, a little cash. So the Salt Lake City Olympics, of course, Team Canada, Gretz was the manager. And Roots, you've probably heard of Roots, the big leather company, you know, bags, shoes, all that
clothing, stuff. Yeah.
Clothing, jackets. They made a jacket and gave it to all the members of the Canadian Olympic team because it was 50 years since they had won a gold medal, Russ. Does that sound right? When the
I don't know.
Olympic.
You were there.
Stevie. No, I wasn't there. I was in Ottawa. Anyway, they gave all the guys a jacket with the crest on it and stuff like that. So I have one of those jackets. Was a limited edition.
Now it's limited.
Now it's limited. Okay.
That's how you know he wants to sell it.
Yeah.
What's it worth? Yeah. What's it worth?
Yeah. One of 100,000.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just if it was a specific player jacket, it would be significantly better.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's just kind of a generic.
And I signed it. I signed it all over the leather on the back.
Yeah. That's just graffiti at this point.
Okay. Mark, this is great, man. Thanks very much for coming on. It's people are always curious about it. You've given us a great education and we'll try and get Russ's. Maybe Russ's card will go up now. Okay. Hey, Donna, we'll see you later.
Yeah. Maybe.
By the way, you're listening to this podcast. Rube's wife keeps walking back and forth.
I'm not looking my best right now, but I figured I'd pop in and say hello.
It's great. Thanks again, Mark. Stay safe and we'll talk to you again sometime. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, boys. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Rusty, that's another show in the books, baby. Interesting shit, eh? That business.
Yeah, I know. Amazing. I'm getting probably 10 letters a week from all over now, and it's starting to come from Asia and Europe with people asking for, the hockey cards to be signed. I don't mind doing it. I just don't like the guy who sends me freaking 10 cards. Like, you know, 2 to 4 is okay if you... Right. Being a little pig. I know when they send more than two, they're going to try and sell them. I don't really care because my stuff's not worth that much money, but it just is a little bit greedy.
I've opened my big mouth, you know, a long time. I don't do it anymore because I got just hazed with requests to get the Great One's autograph.
Oh yeah.
And I stopped doing it when a guy said, yeah, I'll just drop it off at when I was at the radio station. I'll just leave it there. There's a couple things I want to get signed. I said, okay, it may take a year. I'm not being funny. I said, look, take a year because I just don't ask him. Every time he's around, every time I'm around him, there's Anyway, I sent the thing to Gretz, to his executive assistant in LA. She phoned me. She went, Jim, there's 28 things in here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The guy said, I want to get two signed, right? So I stopped doing it. But anyway, it's an interesting business. It's alive and well. It's one of the positive stories about businesses in during the pandemic. So thanks a lot to Mark coming on. And
booze and hockey cards are up.
Booze, exactly. Yeah. Our email, we love to get them from. Go to our Facebook page, too. You can leave us a message. The Suspendables Facebook page. We've got a website that's going to be up. We're going to talk all about it next week. Well, we'll talk about it for a couple of minutes. And you can email us, thesuspendables@gmail.com. No. Did I get that right, Stevie?
No.
thesuspendables@gmail.com?
You did not.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, that's
Yahoo. You're a Yahoo.
Oh, my God.
I got to get out of here. It's thesuspendables@Yahoo.
You know where his brain's at.
Big news next week. We got our Twitter coming out and Instagram and thesuspendables@Yahoo.com. Thanks a lot to Mark Rubin, all the way from New York. Thanks to you, Rusty. We'll talk to everyone next week with another episode of The Suspendables. See you, Rusty.
Hey, Jim, maybe get those handcuffs signed.
Shut up.
From the cop. Are you going to give them back?
Stop. I got to take the fur off them first. Get out of here. We'll see you later.
The Suspendables is a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cortnell in L.A. Follow The Suspendables on Facebook and Twitter. Reach us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.